The gospel today is very long, but I won't read it all. It's about a man born blind who receives sight. You probably haven't memorized, but here we go. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva, and he spread it on the blind man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. And he said, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, these are the neighbors, "Where is this person?" He said, "I don't know." Then the Pharisees also began asking how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Simple. The Jews now did not believe that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this man is indeed our son, and that he was born blind. But we don't know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. But ask him. He's of age." For the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "I do not know whether this Jesus follows a sinner. One thing I do know, though, I was blind and now I see." They, the Jews, said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to be a part of his, be one of his disciples?" The Gospel according to John.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I'm not going to talk much on this homily, on this reading, for the simple reason that John, at his time, is writing to the Jews of the diaspora in which he is engaged, saying, "How come it is that you're still blind to the Son of Man who is risen? How can you be so blind to reject him and to throw us out of your synagogues?" Thus giving rise to centuries of ongoing persecution of the Jews. There's darkness there. So we turn to the light. In Genesis, God created humanity from the same dust of the ground that Jesus used in this reading to restore sight. In John's eyes, Jesus was the great I Am, already of divine status on earth and now in resurrected status as the great I Am, God. So God is the light of the world in this reading. And all you have to do is get some mud, put it in your eyes, and wake up to the new message. Each of today's readings, in different ways, capture this sense that the divine light is within. It has many images, but it is when we are able to see the world with our inner light that we become aware of the divine within. For Jesus, in every gospel reading, he says, be as children. Get rid of your adult experience, prejudice, awareness, thinking, theology, training, whatever it is. Be as children. In Zen, the book I studied was entitled Beginner's Mind. Same thing, to be empty, to find the divine. And Richard Rohr, even today, so I could rewrite my homily before coming, it's a wonderful meditation this morning, he writes, Jesus says the only people who can recognize and be ready for what he's talking about are the ones who come with the mind and heart of a child. It's the same reality as the beginner's mind, Richard Rohr wrote. The older we get, heaven forbid, the more we have been betrayed and hurt and disappointed, the more barriers we put up to the beginner's mind. David Brooks on March 10 wrote in the New York Times that in recent times, quote, many on the left began to suffer from what you might call maladaptive sadness. The mindset had three main features. First, a catastrophizing mentality. For many, America's problems came to be seen as endemic. The American dream is a sham. Climate change is so unstoppable. Systemic racism is eternal. Making catastrophic pronouncements became a way of life for some, to display that they were woke to the brutalities of American life. Continuing in this column, he quotes Matthew Iglesias, who wrote that catastrophizing doesn't usually help you solve problems. People who provide therapy to depressive people try to break that cycle of catastrophic thinking so that these people can deal constructively and positive with life. So, our Lenten promise this year was to not focus on what we have to get rid of, but our hope for the future in many forms. So, is there some things to be positive about as we go forward? Well, I'm going to talk about the creative spirit that is in all of humankind around the world. In just recent times, I have read of technological and scientific breakthroughs in many areas due to creative people doing what they love doing, exploring difficult problems. New breakthroughs in superconductivity at room temperature is yet possible. A new Earth exploration of the Earth's cycle that generates hydrogen, pure hydrogen, capped by lava flows that can be tapped in such a way as to create almost an unending source of hydrogen, which is the cleanest fuel to burn. The product of hydrogen burning is water. Water, flowing water. Okay. We have much more efficient materials that are being developed for capturing the energy of light, photonic light. The rapid growth of green energy available to us now at market rates, all of these things are great happenings that are still developing in our world. in the world of nonprofits, if you begin to look at some of the work that nonprofits are doing, they are coming up with new and creative schemes for dealing with problems. An example was a new drug program in New York City, working directly with addicts in an environment where they are allowed to continue their drugs under control, under care, but with all of the support systems allowing them to transition out of them. Creative work. We don't know. Will it succeed? I don't know. But it's an attempt to do something new. So, things were never as good as the memories that we hold, right? Oh, the golden age. God, if I could just go back to those days when NASA was pouring money into my fellowship and so I could do studies. The common theme of research breakthroughs is if you haven't had your big breakthrough by the age of 30, forget it. It isn't going to happen. That great invention has to come early. That's when our minds are not filled with all the rest. Nobel laureates often, if you look at them, their awards are for work they did years before. Okay. What we are really saying, if we have catastrophic thinking, is that the generations coming behind us somehow lack this same creative spirit that we enjoyed during our lifetime. What's wrong with them? You know, we're leaving them a world full of trash, etc. But we are a very resilient species. We are an extremely creative one, even more creative than the funny little white bird with the funny beak that solves problems by moving sticks into puzzles. Crows, blackbirds, birds are creative. Humanity is vastly creative. Our inner light once was so positive and so productive, maybe. Have we, and I know it happened this week, the light dims out sometimes. Gets pretty dim. And that is a part of life also. But with a beginner's mind, with the mind of a child, we can rekindle that inner light, put it in the niche that is us, and carry that glowing lamp of light, of optimism, of hope, of expectation of future wonders and good things. Quoting Matthew Fox from his book on creativity, who is God? What is divinity about? We who are made in God's likeness are also generators and life givers. Creating is our imitation of divinity. We are here to imitate divinity, nothing less. All creation is generative. Why would the human species, so powerfully endowed with imagination, not also be generative going forward? Fox continues, we do not generate alone, but we generate in communion with the divine who dwells and generates within us. And we are believers that the divine dwells in every human. We tap into the work, he writes, of the Creator whose power is, quote, he's quoting, I think, from Eckhart in his foxy way, unceasingly glowing and burning with all the divine wealth, all the divine sweetness, all the divine bliss. This is our God of light, our God of creation, the source of our diverse forms of creativity. So let's crank up this power, get our light shining bright, hope embedded in the power of creation. We need not live in fear for the future, but can walk in the light of hope in our God of promise. So be it. I welcome any comments.